Hey, good evening. I'm watching for this to continue. I got my eternal. Okay, now I have it, the eternal ring. So it's good to be here this evening. And this is the spiritual energy broadcast and podcast. And you are welcome to our website anytime at spiritualenergy.net. And you can find a lot of our writings. You can find audios and videos there. And we would appreciate it if you would visit. You can also go to my YouTube, which is Atori Aloyansa Parnell. And if you go there to the YouTube and you listen to the videos and things, please do me a favor while you're doing it, and that is subscribe. And after I get so many subscribed, then I'm able to do some free advertisement. So I would appreciate any of that. I'm talking these things, waiting on a few people to come on. And we have been talking through the last 3 weeks or so, and we've been talking about the gospel after the ages, I think is the way that I put it. The gospel after the ages and after the Bible. And so the last two have been on that, and you are certainly welcome to go to the website and listen to those, or to our YouTube channel and listen to those. And today, I'm going to continue on with our thought about the gospel after the church ages and the Bible. And a lot of people, I've gotten a lot of writings back and saying, "Well, Brother Parnell, how can you say that it's after the Bible?" I said, "Well, what I'm saying is that the Bible from Genesis to Revelation is complete." And you know, when my dogs start barking, it's because somebody's coming in, so it'll settle down in a few minutes. But the Bible is complete, is what I'm saying. Now, you can go into the Bible and you can find hundreds and thousands of things that many prophets said. And it's good. And I go there all the time. I'm going to read some more to you tonight. But what I'm saying is, we're outside of the covers of that Bible now. It's finished. And we've had a prophet to tell us that. We had seals open that told us that. We've had the heavens to tell us that. And so we are at an age now where we're beyond all those things. And we are in a brand new age, a brand new world. Please hurry, whoever's coming in. And so we want to talk tonight, and I wrote down what I want to talk about, and it is take up your pen and write. So I want to read some things, and I read quite a bit last week, and I'm going to read some things this week, and it's take up your pen and write. And this came to me the other night when I was writing about some things, and I put one of them on Facebook, and then I put another one on Facebook, and the Holy Spirit, the understanding kept coming. You know, that's something I was talking to Brother Benjamin Norah. We were at a restaurant eating after a Sunday morning he had ministered. And I said, a lot of people, they're all the time saying the Holy Spirit spoke to them, the Holy Spirit told them the, and I said, you know, actually, if you pay attention to what the prophet said, the Holy Spirit is not a person. The Holy Spirit can't talk to you. The Holy Spirit is a dispensation. There was a dispensation of the Father, dispensation of the Son, and the dispensation of the Holy Spirit. And one person is in all three of those, and that is Jesus Christ. So it's not the Holy Spirit speaking to you. You could say, the person of Jesus Christ gave me an understanding, and the understanding is the Holy Ghost. I want to try and get out of using so many terms that throw you back into a Pentecostal type understanding, seeking for something. This is not even, I'm going to tell you now, this is not even the dispensation of the Holy Ghost. The dispensation of the Holy Ghost is over. That was the church ages. And the dispensation that's here now is the dispensation of the fullness of time. And that is Father, Son, Holy Ghost, all attributes together living here on earth in us. And we are the complete understanding now. So I want to, just before I start here, to take up your pen and write. I want to say that Brother Isidro Estrada's wife crossed over the veil. So be sure and be in prayer for Brother Isidro. He's on here a lot. He's on all of the Zoom meetings with us and things like that. And his wife crossed over. So please be in prayer for him, his family, his loved ones. And my cousin Joseph crossed over. He lived in the Bahamas, but the two of us grew up together. We were very close and still are very close. He crossed the veil, I believe, yesterday morning. And, you know, I could just start talking about the memories of he and I and the spiritual things that we went through together, and it would take up several podcasts just to do that. I remember one time I wrote something on Facebook about my life, and I just wrote a few paragraphs, and he wrote in on a comment, and he said, "And there's so much more to that." And so he was with me. He knows many things that we did and the things that happened. So be in prayer for the Whitlock family, the loved ones. Brother Joseph, Joey, is a wonderful person. We will meet again. It hurts a little bit to think that, well, you know, I'm not going to see him again here, but I will see him again. So we're going to talk just a little while on take up your pen and write. And I wanted to read this. It's kind of a thought that I had from reading the book of Revelations. I usually try to read the book of Revelations at least once a week. A lot of people think I don't use the Bible anymore, but I read the book of Revelations at least once a week. It takes me about 2 or 3 hours to read it. And I go through it and I read it, and so much is in there that, almost every scripture has a compound meaning and a compound revelation. Like, for instance, one of the prophets wrote, "I have called my son out of Egypt." He called Israel out of Egypt. He called Jesus out of Egypt. You could just keep going at all the different ones that he called out of Egypt. So it has a compound meaning many times, and you can apply scriptures to your day as long as you're able to understand your day and the understanding of your season and what's going on. You can find tons of scriptures that match up. But when you start trying to put a denominational interpretation on it, it becomes very different. So what I want to read today, take up your pen and write. Revelations 1 and 17, John is writing. John was on an island of Patmos. The day of Pentecost happened in 33 AD. And then shortly thereafter, most all the disciples were crucified, starved to death, beat to death, stoned to death, whatever it might be. And so they were gone. And Paul came on the scene. He came on the scene around 41 AD, somewhere in there. And when he came on the scene, he began to break open some new things to the people that were even beyond what Jesus spoke. And He was taking it into a new covenant and a new day. And then Paul, of course, was killed, head cut off, around 63 AD. And 37 years later, so you have all that happening from 33 AD up to about 98 AD. And here is John on the island of Patmos, and Jesus Christ himself comes and tells John to put these things in a book. Those things that you've seen, listen to what he says. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. Now, you know what keys do for you. Keys open up things for you. And keys lock things up for you. Keys can protect you from what's on the outside or what's on the inside. There's all kinds of things that keys do for you. And Jesus said, I have the keys to all of these things. And a key is a revelation, an understanding. So Jesus is saying, by going through death, hell, and the grave and the resurrection, I now have an understanding. And I know that we can overcome it because he did. He said, I'm he that liveth, and write those things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. So he's telling John, take up your pen and write. He told Ezekiel the same thing, take up his pen and write. And then he told him to eat the book that he wrote. And he told Brother Branham, take up his pen and write. And then he told him to eat the book he wrote. So there's all the way through the scriptures, there's a lot of different people that do a lot of things and a lot of prophets that have written. And you know that the scripture tells us plainly that these scriptures or these prophets were written with an understanding and can be used for everything that you want to use them for in being a responsible person in Christ Jesus. And, you know, somebody said, well, it said it was written, these men wrote by the Holy Ghost. Well, that's what I said. They wrote with an understanding because the Holy Ghost is just an understanding. It's not even a person. The person is Jesus Christ. And the Holy Ghost is a dispensation. And we got used to saying that, but that's okay. We can get unused to it. So John's there, and he tells him to write. Now, William Branham, I want to read this to you because I want you to understand really truly what he was doing. Many people had all sorts of ideas about who he was, and that's fine. But they say he was commissioned to do this, commissioned to do that. This is what he said about himself, and I want to use this a little bit through this message. It's 1962, March the 18th, Spoken Word is Original Seed, paragraph 110, if you need to go there and look at it. He said, my mission, listen to that, my mission that I believe that God has called me for, I have to say some things today because that's what I told you to do, see? Told you I'd do, see? And tell the world, my mission, I believe, to the earth is what? Is to forerun the coming word. Notice that. Forerun the coming word. He didn't say forerun Jesus Christ coming back to earth. He didn't say forerun the end time. He said, my mission that I must tell you today is to forerun the coming word. The coming word is the issue of God or the seed of the Spirit moving into the earth in the next generation. That's the coming word. So Brother Branham said, I'm to forerun that coming word. See, the coming word, which is Christ. And Christ, now listen, in him, he's talking about when it comes, in him is the millennium and has everything right there in him. See, it's that word that's coming. Now, So he's saying the word's going to come. It's going to break open into the earth, and it's going to hold the millennium in it. It's going to hold all the things that we're trying to get to in it, because it's the word. So we are the ones that are doing this. We are the coming word that he was speaking about. And he says it time and time again in different places, but that's the most clear that I have found through studying his message for about 60 years now. That's the clearest that I have found anywhere. Very plain. Now, the Lord told this man, the Spirit talked to him and told him to take up his pen and write. It's in Church Age book, the Pergamon Church Age. Brother Branham makes a statement. He says, one night, as I was seeking the Lord, he told me to pick up my pen and write. As I grasped the pen to write, his Spirit gave me a message for the church. I want to bring it to you, and I'm going to bring a couple of sections of it. I'm not going to read it all. It has to do with the word and the bride. Remember the age that he was in. The word and the bride were supposed to become one, and that would be the marriage supper of the Lamb, and we'll get into that in another message very shortly. Here's what I am trying to say to you. The law of reproduction is that each species brings forth after its own kind, even according to Genesis 1 and 11. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass and the herb yielding seed and the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. Now listen, this is the Spirit has got your prophet under such control. He's got a pen and he's writing it down. So this should mean a lot to you. He says, now, look, whatever life was in the seed came forth into the plant and thence into the fruit. The very same law applies to the church today. Whatever seed started the church, it will come forth and be like the original seed because it's the same seed. Now, when he speaks of church, he's not speaking of a building. He's not speaking of some town somewhere with a little church in it. He's speaking of humanity during the age of the church. Whatever seed started the church, which was the day of Pentecost, that's my words, it will come forth and be like the original seed because it's the same seed. These last days, the true bride church, Christ's seed, will come to the headstone. And we've done it. We've come to the headstone. We've come to the mind. He said the very next age after the eyes, which he said he was the eyes age, he said, then you come to the mind. And he says here, it'll be like the original seed. In these last days, the true bride church, Christ's seed, will come to the headstone. And she will, so will come to him, and she will be the super church, a super race, as she nears him. Listen to what he said, as she nears him. Do you see that in that day and age, they weren't quite there yet? As she nears him, they and the bride will be so much like him, they will even be in his very image. That's what they will come to. Where are we at today? This is in order to be united with him. They will be one. They will be the very manifestation of the word of the living God. And we have come to that uniting. We stopped seeing two spirits. We don't have two husbands. We don't have two natures. We don't have different doctrines. We don't have any of those things. We have one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one hope for calling. We have everything back to one. And this is what he was saying. So in this age, we came right back to where we united, not just the bride going to get married, but we have united with the headstone, And we are one with the headstone, and we are the very manifestation of the coming word that he spoke about. So we see this happening all around us. Now, denominations, this is still his letter, denominations cannot produce this that I'm speaking of. It's the wrong seed. See, denomination comes after the death happens. They always, the worst plague on the whole planet, you can talk about COVID, polio, whatever you want. The worst plague of the whole planet is denomination. It's a plague of death. It will kill the church. It will kill the people. It will kill everything. Denominations cannot produce. They will produce the creeds and their dogmas mixed with the word. This mongrelizing brings forth a hybrid product. Now, I want you to be very careful here. This is Brother Branham giving us a warning, writing out his own words by the Holy Spirit. I want you to be very careful here and see this. God has promised that at the end time, Malachi 4 is going to be fulfilled. It has to be, for it is the Spirit-quickened word of God spoken by the prophet Malachi. Jesus referred to it. It is just before Christ comes. By the time Jesus comes, all scripture must be fulfilled. How many knows Jesus already come? Do you understand that? All scripture must be fulfilled. That's why I said we're outside the Bible now. We are on the backside, just like Brother Branham talked about. We're on the backside, and we're doing things on the backside of the Bible, looking backwards at all the things that happened and looking back there to get a better understanding of where we're at. So he says, now, see, Jesus comes, all the scripture must be fulfilled. The Gentile dispensation will be in its last church age when that messenger of Malachi comes. He will be right with the word. He will take the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation and wind it up. He will start at the serpent seed and carry on to the messenger in the latter rain. We've seen it happen all the way through. And then he says this statement, be warned, he will be rejected by denomination. So don't go looking for him somewhere out there. If you think you're going to find him in some church somewhere, it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. The last day messenger will appear in God's appointed time. I'm reading you this for a background for some things I'm about to say. It is the end time now, as we all know. The end time for the church, for Israel in her homeland. A time now, I've got so much I could say there, but I won't right now. Any time now, he will come according to Malachi. When we see him, he will be dedicated to the word. He will be vindicated, pointed out in the word by Revelation 10:7. And God will vindicate his ministry. He will preach the truth, as did Elijah, and be ready for the Mount Zion showdown. Many will misunderstand him. Hear this. Because they have been taught scripture in a certain way, which they consider to be the truth. He even goes further here. When he comes against that teaching, all those things they've been taught, they will not believe. And even some true ministers will misunderstand the messenger, because so much has been called God's truth by deceivers. So we are in an age that is amazing. Even true ministers are ministering things that aren't true. And they're deceived by all the teachings. And I would say that I could sit and point at 99%, maybe 100, I don't know. Surely to goodness there's a few out there, but 99% of the churches are exactly what he's talking about. They are not teaching the full word and understanding for their day and their age. They did not come to the fruit that they should have come to. Now, this is Brother Branham talking. Okay, I finished that up. Now, the Spirit moved me, Don Parnell, The Spirit moved me to take up my pen and write just the other day, and I'm still writing some. And said, explain the connection in this transition in the earth into humanity and the new world. And so I sat down and I began to write. I began to see it as it opened up to me. I wrote, the world stood in shock on 9/11 when the Twin Towers fell and New York City was attacked. And they did. The whole world just was in total shock. The sun, at the same time, the sun's entry went into the house of Aquarius at almost identically the same time. And it was September 11th what put the annual rotation in the house of Libra. So you had two sun signs, Aquarius and Libra, moving in on the earth to bring a brand new influence. And at that same time, 9/11, 2001, the Twin Towers fell. The annual day was in Libra. The air signs, which is this whole dispensation for the next 2,050 years or so, it's air signs, this dispensation. Paul said we were going to go to a meeting in the air. They finished up Pisces, which is in the water. And then they moved from there. They moved into an air sign, which is Aquarius. So we can see that the signs that were coming into influence brought in great terror and a great slaughter. And that's what was predicted for Aquarius for the first 200 years, was that there would be war and war and more war and slaughtering, and nations would die. And it talks about Aquarius and how it eats its own babies. It causes so much destruction and turns around and destroys itself many times. And it's all about that in the first 200 years of Aquarius. So we see that as soon as Aquarius and Libra took their influence into the earth, great terror took place. 9/11 hit. And we've seen that it was the birth of a new age and a dispensation. Just like in any birth, it's a messy thing. When you have a new birth, I don't know how many of you have been in a room, but it's a messy thing. A breach was being healed as we crossed over into Aquarius, from Pisces over into Aquarius. Isaiah the prophet told us of this day dawning. Isaiah 30 and 25 says, and there shall be upon every high mountain and upon every hill rivers and streams of waters. It's going to be a beautiful day, Isaiah is saying. Every high mountain there would be rivers and streams of water. It'd be so beautiful and everything would be going great. And then he says, in the day of the great slaughter when the towers fall. You know what he's seen. I'll show you what he's seen if you pay attention to it. That wasn't back there somewhere, some city. He was looking right up at New York City. Brother Branham screamed out, watch New York. That was the cry of a prophet. Decades before they came, when everything seemed to be blossoming, and then it came all at once, this great slaughter, and the Twin Towers fell, which Isaiah prophesied and said they would. The two beasts in Revelation 13, William Branham, there's your symbol, the Twin Towers, the two beasts in Revelation 13, the beast and his image, fell by Aquarius and Libra influence. And William Branham come down in Revelation 10:7, and it said that he put his foot on land and sea. And the two beasts in Genesis or Revelation 13 were in the land and the sea. So Brother Branham put his 2 feet, which was a type of Jesus Christ, the ministry, he put it on those beasts, and he brought the life out of those beasts. And he declared that time should be no longer. They're done. Their heads been cut off. And we're watching them now under this Aquarian Libra influence 37 years later. 1963, William Branham opened those seals. And 37 years later, the Twin Towers fall. It's It's amazing to me. Watch what Isaiah says. 30 and 26. Moreover, the light of the moon. He's still talking in this day when the twin towers fall. At that day, moreover, there's going to be more things. These are some of the more things. The light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun. So the moon is going to catch enough revelation, it becomes as light as the sun. You know what the moon is? It's the church. And he says, the moon shall become as the sun. And the light of the sun shall be sevenfold. Listen to that. Paul, Irenaeus, Martin, Columba, Luther, Wesley, Branham. Sevenfold, stronger. Isaiah looked right at it. He said, it shall be as the light of 7 days. In the day that the Lord binds up the breach of his people and heals the stroke of his wound. So we see a day where that Isaiah sees the twin towers fall. He sees a great slaughter happen just a few years ago, 22 years ago. And in the days of the great slaughter, we've seen all that happen. There was to come, we were to be 7 times brighter. We would have went through 7 days or 7 church ages. And the breach, who was it stood and preached on the breach between the 7 church ages and the 7 seals? The breach would be healed up, or it would be bound up to where we could make the crossing into a brand new day. In the days of the great slaughter, the fall of the towers, the moon, the church, would be as bright as the sun, Christ. And the sun would be sevenfold brighter as the light of 7 days. The sevenfold church ages and the sevenfold seals will be complete at that time of terror. And they were. It finished in 63. And by 66, he was gone. The sevenfold church ages and the sevenfold seals would be complete at that time. Slaughter and destruction would take place. The breach, which has been these last few years coming from the seals, the breach would be healed up. The gap would be closed in that day, and the prophet comes ministering the breach between the 7 seals and 7 church ages, and right in that message, I'm not going to go back and read it, I got it here, but he says the intercessory is over. The mediation is over. He said it's no longer the blood. That's not what we're looking at. He said it's the spirit now. You must come further than the blood. He said in the days of Wesley and all those days, the blood was good, but we come out of those days and we're not looking at blood anymore. It fulfilled itself. We are looking at spirit. Who is working in the spirit of the Lord, in spirit and in truth. So we see this going on. Brother Branham tells us very plainly in the breach how we could be healed up. Now, many didn't take the healing. They still got wounds everywhere. But how we could be healed up is change over from blood to spirit. That's how we could be healed up. Look at the tragedy of the nation of Israel. I'm tying these things in. I sat down and wrote these things by the Spirit. Look at the tragedy of the nation of Israel that just took place this month. If you will notice, it was once again with the sun in Aquarius and the annual rotation in Libra. And it was 22 years later. I don't know if you know, understand what 22 means, but there are 22 collective nerves to the mind of Christ. 22, double 11, it's the mind of Christ. Brother Branham made those statements. He said 22 was the most accurate rifle. 22 is the mind of Christ, all those things. So we see that exactly 22 years later, there's a connection between these two. So watch. This time on October 7th, Israel was attacked by Hamas, Hezbollah, all of those, and they took the greatest slaughter that they have ever taken. Running back and looking at what happened when the Gentile dispensation ended, they took great slaughter. And now the protection of Israel being lifted and Israel being just another nation, and her prophecies are finished, and I've said that enough times. I believe she will do a lot of things, but her prophecies in the Bible are finished. She took the throne. She was ruling. She did all those things over top of all those Arab nations. So we see this now. This slaughter was on October the 7th. You know what that is? 10-7. So we know that in Revelation 10 and 7, William Branham said, time shall be no longer. And there's the slaughter in New York to stop the Gentile dispensation. And here's the slaughter in Israel. And it happens on 10-7, showing the prophecy of William Branham that would take place on 10-7. The last messenger's prophecies are all fulfilled. And it's the fulfillment of the beast, which had 10 horns and 7 heads. 10-7. The beast showed his power and it's finished. It's over. And 10-7 finishes all up. We know that Revelations 10-7 took us into eternity. And we know that 10-7 took Israel into a great slaughter. Because the protection is now for everyone that understands this understanding and is walking in it. Now, it's now a day of no walls. They've all been torn down. It's now a day of no groups. You know, they used to call so many different ones. This group, the Two Soul group, the Perusia group, and it was all kinds of groups. I don't even hear of any anymore. It's a day of no groups. You better have a personal connection with Jesus Christ, or you're in trouble, don't matter what group you're in. And so it's the day of no walls, no groups, no ordinances, or special interests. Neither male nor female, Jew or Greek, oneness has returned at the healing of the breach. We brought this oneness into the earth. William Branham brought us up to it, and then he left it alone because he knew that Revelations 10, 8, and 11 would unite someday with the headstone, bring this oneness and show only one husband, show only one spirit and the things that are going on in the earth. So we see this, the body of the spirit, the earth is purging itself. The earth itself is purging itself. Look at Israel. It's a symbol. And what are they doing right now? They are purging their land of Philistines, Hamas, Hezbollah, all of those different ones. There's so much more to this. So I went on writing. I put that out, and the Holy Spirit was still dealing with me strongly. The Spirit, the understanding. When Jesus was going to his crucifixion, the women were weeping and crying for him. Jesus looked at those women and said, "Weep not for me, but for yourselves, for the day will come when it will be said, woe to those women that give suck." That was 33 AD. 37 years later, Roman general Titus sieged Jerusalem in 70 AD and slaughtered the people, destroyed the Temple of Solomon till there wasn't one stone left upon another, just like Jesus said in Matthew 24. Before the enemies entered Jerusalem, they sieged them. The people were starving, and they were dying. Their children were dying. And Josephus wrote that they ate the bodies of their own dead babies. It was that terrible. And Jesus warned them of it. And it was exactly 37 years later, after the crucifixion of Jesus. Now, Josephus wrote that the dispensation of the law and the prophets ended right there at this event, and the Gentile dispensation was opening in the spirit with Paul giving his understanding and the things that were happening. Now, think about that. Jesus crucified, 37 years later, Rome comes in and destroys Jerusalem, tears down the temple, and wipes everything out and ends Israel's reign, so to speak, in that dispensation. Now go to New York City. Jump over here from 70 AD to 2001. Now go to New York City in your mind, and I continue the revealing about New York City and Israel, opening the understanding and connection of these two events. It's going on. Notice, Titus destroyed the heart of Israel, Jerusalem, crushed the temple of Solomon until there was not one stone left upon another. Jesus told them that this would happen. And Matthew scripted what Jesus said in Matthew 24. You can go read it. And now look, 1962, the prophet was rejected by denominational world. They turned him down. He stood in present stage of my ministry and wept like a baby and said, "What have I ever done for you that you won't let me in your doors? I've only healed your sick. I've only done these things for you. And you've turned me down." And he said, "I have nowhere to go and minister my message." Now look, 1962, that happened. The prophet was rejected by denominational world and the message was crucified. And he comes back in July of 63 and preaches, "I indict this generation for the second crucifixion of Jesus Christ." So there you see the crucifixion. And what happens from 63, 37 years later, exactly like that happened before, from Jesus to Titus the general, here we come 37 years later, after "I indict this generation for the second crucifixion," 2001, the Taliban and terrorists struck down the two towers in New York, the capital of the world, the capital of Wall Street, the capital of everything you can possibly think of. And they come in and they struck it down 37 years later, took the two towers down in New York and struck the Pentagon, the military headquarters of the nation, the military headquarters of the world. And the Gentile dispensation was ending at those events, just like at Titus, that dispensation of the Old Testament was ending for Israel. Here we are, exact time frame, exact everything, and the Gentile dispensation was ending then, and now the Israel's dispensation was ending then, and now the Gentile dispensation is ending. So where are we going? Where are we going from here? Somebody said, "Oh, it's the end of the world. You know, we're waiting on Jesus to come." Come on. Take a good look at what's going on. What are we waiting on? The dispensation of the fullness of time. We are not waiting on that. The world seems to be. We know it's here. It has opened to us the dispensation of the fullness of time. Ephesians 1, Paul talks about it quite a bit. If you want to go over there and read it, I won't go tonight, but we'll go. The strongholds were crushed. New York, Wall Street shut down. The world went into a great recession. Nothing was flying. Nothing was working. The Gentile reign was over, and the seals brought us into the fullness of time. From that time in September of 2001 to the time of Israel's tragedy and terror by Hamas and Hezbollah was exactly 22 years, showing the mind of Christ tied the two together. Brother Branham did it. He took something that happened in 62, he tied it into 65, 63, and tied it into 64. You take these events, these two events was one event, 22 years apart in our time, but it's one event, and it's the Spirit showing that the Gentile dispensation is over and the Israeli dispensation is over, and we've gone into another dispensation, the dispensation of the fullness of time. Hezbollah was 22 years, showing the mind of Christ has removed all special groups, removed all dispensations, removed everything, every covenant, everything that he had, and he's opening and exposing and revealing the purpose of the fullness, which is to bring all things back to one. And I'll be honest with you, we've been the beginning of that. By being able to look and say, look, the devil is only processes. The Father, Son, and Holy Ghost are not persons. Forget all that stuff. We've come through the processes. We traveled through our time in hell, and we've come back, and we're in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, and it's all finishing over, and we have entered into a fullness of time where that we take all of our attributes and we begin to use them in every way that we can to be able to bring forth this fullness of time into the earth. So we see these going on. It's It's Christ, and he's removed all of these groups and special groups and tags and everything else, all these races and everything, and all the female and male and all the everything. He's moved it all, exposing and revealing the purpose of the fullness, which is to bring us back to one. You have been, you, not just me, you have been a great ministry to take the fullness of time and bring it into one spirit, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one hope of our calling. You've done that through these messages that I've ministered, and then hundreds of you have ministered across the world, and you're listening now. You have done this. You are the reason that the fullness of time is breaking into the earth right now. Now, I'll go a little further. This is what the Spirit was dealing with me on. Speaking this with all due respect, the crossing of Billy Paul Branham in Libra, October, under Aquarius, exactly the same thing going on. The tragedy of Israel was in Libra, the connection. Our brother Billy Paul in type was a type of Ishmael. Under Libra, under the balancer, Ishmael dies. Ishmael crosses the veil, goes to be with his father, the firstborn. That's why I call him Ishmael. He was the firstborn of Abraham from Hagar, and Billy Paul was the firstborn of William Branham from Hope. And later, Joseph came from Meta. The voice of God was finished. His reign over the spoken word, and that's what he reigned over. Ishmael reigned over the spoken word, and his reign over the spoken word finished in October. The voice of God, his reign over the voice of God finished in October. He's not reigning over the voice of God anymore. And listen to me, that old ministry, that old way, and that old understanding is not reigning over the voice of God in reality, in spirituality anymore. We're not under that shadow. The firstborn from Abraham, from Hagar. He had a reign over the spoken word. The voice of God finished with great sorrow and tragedy. Everybody's writing about it, weeping about it. He's gone. And he was a great man. I guarantee you he's with his father right now, enjoying himself. I don't care where you think he might have went. I'd say his father would have a whole lot to say about that. The same is true as the Zionist, which is what you see over there in Israel right now. They are Zionist. As the Zionists and the Philistines, reign is also ending. Israel reign ended. We watched it. You know what they're doing right now? They're sitting back waiting for Joe Biden to tell them what to do. They backed out, and they're sitting and doing nothing. Because why? Because their reign is ended and the power's not there. And they're trusting in Egypt now. I call USA Egypt. They're trusting in somebody outside trusting the Lord. And they're sitting there doing that. The same is true as the Zionist Philistine reign. They can't go in there because nobody will support them and give them money to go in. No, the organizations, the Zionist organizations, everything else. You see them all protesting in the streets. Everybody's afraid to touch anything that went on. The same is true with the Zionist and Philistine reign. It's ending in great tragedy and terror in the Middle East. The world is confused, just as the message people are confused over prophecies and things that have been said over the years. I will tell you this one prophecy, because I've gotten 100 or more writings in Messenger asking me about it. Brother Parnell, what are we going to do where William Branham prophesied that California would sink before Billy Paul's an old man and now he's died? I said, well, the first thing I'd like to see is where Brother Branham said that. I said, I've studied his message for 60 years. I've read every book you can possibly put out, and I've not only read them, I've read 3 and 4 and 5 times, and sometimes dozens of times. And I never seen where Brother Branham said Billy Paul won't be an old man before California Sings. That was something Billy Paul said that William Branham told him. Now, that's not a prophecy. That's just a man standing around talking. So now we see this. Don't even worry about that. Get that out of your head. That was no prophecy. William Branham never spoke it anywhere. He never stood up and gave it as a prophecy. And don't worry about it. And those people that do worry about it, let them worry. Don't you worry about it. Because it's silly, actually. So we see this now. Billy Paul and the world are confused over all the prophecies of Israel, and they're all trying to figure out how Israel's going to come out on top. They already came out on top in 1967, and in the time of the tribulation period, when everything was so horrible for them, and they defeated 7 nations, Egypt and Syria and all of them together, in 7 days, in 6-day war, they defeated them. Israel came out on top, and that was their prophecy fulfilled. So now, what we see is the Joseph ministry, Billy Paul, Ishmael, and Isaac, the second son, which would be Joseph. Billy Paul, the Joseph ministry, or Ishmael, or the old ministry, which was a good ministry. It was an excellent ministry, but we've got a more excellent way. The Joseph ministry has always been overshadowed by the firstborn group of the message, trying to tell us all the traditions that we need to do. And that's why I'm sitting here in this little room tonight, is because I won't bow to the traditions, so I haven't got a church to go to. And I have decided to make my own little thing and just enjoy it with, it's turned out to be thousands upon thousands of people. I didn't expect that, but I'm enjoying it. Now, the Joseph ministry has always been overshadowed by the firstborn group of the message. It is a great symbol now that Ishmael's gone, and he went out under Libra. Libra's balancing everything out now, setting up a level playing field. And we see that Joseph is free and has stepped out of the shadows of that early ministry when the generation on the scene at that time went into a hell house. The prophet was trying to deliver them, and he cried, "Hell house, come down." And it did. And those people went free for that age. But remember, right before Brother Branham told about that in Works of Faith Express, he told about this, a dream that he had. And he said, "I had a dream the other night, the other morning. I don't dream very often. I'm not a dreamer. But I dreamed that I seen a young man. A young fella in shackles." There's your young ministry. A young fella in shackles, just coming up. And he said, and he was trying to get out. And somebody told me, said, "Those are horrible people. Don't have nothing to do with them." How many times they told you that, Sister Noel? They're horrible people. Don't. What are you doing? Listen to them. Why are you paying any attention to them? Those people, they say the craziest things and try to make something Brother Branham said, and on and on and on. See, as somebody said to me, because he's having this dream, he's representing this young ministry raising up, this Joseph ministry. And they said, "Don't have anything to do with them. Those are horrible people. Don't have anything to do with them." And you know what? I seen this young fella getting out of his shackles. So I just left him alone. I thought, I'll just see what he does. So you know what? He got out. He was a nice fella. And then I seen others trying to get out. Well, I think Brother Branham took a good look at us. At the same time that the whole generation was going into a hell house, and he had to preach to them to deliver them in that generation, he's seen another generation raising up that was going to bring a ministry. And then when he saw the ministry stepping out, he then seen others trying to get out also. What you read about is a young ministry raising up. It is that Joseph ministry that was on the scene, now in maturity and out of his shackles. During his young days, he was shackled by the overshadowing of the old ministry and had to stay in line with their thinking while they were preaching, and he was sitting on the pew listening to all this old stuff. And so, but now the Gentile dispensation is over. Israel's natural promises are over. The firstborn ministry has moved off the scene. Ishmael, he's gone. And the second son, Joseph, is free. You remember what Paul said? The first one was of the earth. And he said, the second one is the Lord from heaven. And I'm telling you, this ministry that's raising up, that sees what we see and has an understanding, this second son, this Joseph, it is the Lord from heaven. The young ministry is now out of its chains, out of its world systems. It doesn't have that influence and overshadowing him anymore. So we see this now. I haven't sent any of this out yet, but I continued to write. I sent those things out and I wanted to explain those things. I will continue to write on this connection and events in the spirit. Brother Billy Paul Branham was 88 years old. Ishmael, the first son of the promises, 88 years old when he crossed the veil to be with his father, William Branham. We know that the old post office of the spoken word, we know that its address was 888. That was the address of the spoken word in the days prior to the Voice of God publications where they're at now. They were in the little quadrangle. And we see that he died at 88, showing that those dispensations were finished, but there's 188 left. Or there's 1-8 left, 888. So there's 1-8 left. And the Voice of God publications, all those things. And we have one more 8, which is going into action. It's happening all around us right now. Brother Billy Paul, the old ministry, gave up the ghost. Ishmael gave up the ghost 3:33 a.m. in the morning on October the 19th. 3:30 a.m. in the morning. 888-18 hadn't been fulfilled yet. And that is us. It's going on right now. And 3:33 in the morning, in the Aquarius Libra influence, the Ishmael was moved off the scene, no longer over the spoken word, no longer over the voice of God. The connection with NYC on 9/11, the connection of Israel on 10/7, and the old ministry, Brother Billy Paul Branham, it was a very strong thing. But now the connection to the Joseph ministry developing to maturity from New York to Israel, 10/7, and Joseph gets set free in Libra in 2023 is a very strong connection. So we see 333 is perfection. Three threes, that's nine. New life. You know what nine means? A new life. So we have this new life breaking open. And we see all these things happening. And I want to run back and give another connection from New York all the way through. The Spirit gave us a beautiful happening to give us an understanding of this last number 8 in its perfection. Or this eternal day. That's what 8 is. It's an eternal day. On September 11th, 2001, I, Don Parnell, was to guide a group through Tower Number 1 in New York City at 8 a.m. I was supposed to be there in the top of the tower, Number 1, 8 a.m. with a group of 7 people, so I was the 8th person. There would be a group of 8 of us that would tour. On September the 10th, 2001, I contacted the corporation. I was supposed to be there. And I asked them if someone else could lead and be the guide there in the towers. And could I fly in the next day And I'd fly into LaGuardia Airport on the noon flight, and I would be there in time for the negotiations. And so the corporation said, that's fine. That's fine. We'll put somebody else as a guide besides you. So I was the eighth person, the last number eight. And I'm not saying I'm the one. I'm saying I am representing a whole generation of people that got pulled out of the fire to come into this eighth day. The morning I woke up to get ready for my flight to New York City at 8:20 a.m. that morning, the first plane struck the tower number one. I couldn't believe my eyes watching the news that morning. I couldn't keep from thinking that I was the eighth person in that group that would have been in the top of the tower, number one, starting the tour. Had I followed the plan of it all, I would have disappeared. None of those were found. They were just put in as part of the missing group. And I began to realize and think about that, and I thought, you know, tower number one, starting the tour, if I'd have been there, but I wasn't. I was pulled out of the fire at the last minute. I represented the life of this age. I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about all of us. I represented the life of this age. I was connected to that New York connection. None of the group was found and was part of the final number of deaths in that tragedy. You and I, we, all of us, the eighth day, the eighth person, pulled from the fire and escaped the wrath of judgment, and we are the eighth eternal day outside the church ages and outside the testaments. We've been pulled out of all of it. Those two events of New York and Israel, which is one event in the mind of Christ, we were pulled out of all of that and put aside to bring forth this eighth day. Now let me read to you a little bit of Brother Branham said again, and I'll close. It's eternal. Future home. Paragraph 223. 7 days, watch, which 7 days pass away. Or as I have said, they will change to another. Now, Brother Branham talking. 8 days deals with new creation. So, 8 days deal with a new creation. I was a representative of this day, which is new creation, to be brought over into this day, and all of us have come into it together. 8 days deals with new creation. See, not old creation. 8 days is new creation. For it was on the eighth day that our Lord raised from the dead. And we know that. First day of the week, which would be the eighth day. Because you go through seven, when you hit the next day, we go back to one, but that's not the Lord's thinking. It goes into eighth day. Now here he says, the Lord raised from the dead on the eighth day. There is your holy convocation, the holiness, not considering the Sabbaths at all, or the Feast of Tabernacles at all. So the Lord brought us into a brand new holiness, a brand new day, and all of the requirements and everything else of all the Sabbaths and all the holidays and all the feasts didn't mean a thing. Jesus raised from the dead. And Brother Branham makes this statement now. Listen close. This is your holy convocation, your holiness. I'm holy because he raised from the dead. You say, I got to be holy. I don't got to be holy. I am holy. Peter said, in one place, he said, be ye holy, even as our Father, and so forth. And everybody says, there it is. You got to be holy. Go pay attention to what Peter's saying. Peter made a declared statement. The Lord is holy, period. Be ye holy. You're holy because the Lord's holy. You're the Lord. Somebody said, I got to be holy. I got to act right. I got to do this. I got to do that. This shows if I'm holy or not. That's nonsense. When Jesus raised from the dead, there's our holiness. And then he goes on. Watch not considering the Sabbath at all, or the Feast of Tabernacles at all, or the Feast of this, or the Feast of Pentecost. Jesus raised from the dead for our justification on the eighth day after the seven Sabbaths were over, or after the 7 days were over, or after the seven church ages are over. Well, we just can't get it through our head that we're holy. We come out on the other side of those church ages and we're just holy. So, Brother Parnell, I've got this wrong. You're holy. Just quit worrying about what you got wrong and say, I'm holy because the Lord made me holy, and watch that thinking begin to straighten up everything that you got. It'll begin to put you in the right position if you can accept that you're holy. You know, some people that one say, I'm so dirty, I need to go wash up before I take a bath. Well, no, if I'm dirty, I'm going to go take a bath. I don't need to wash up. I don't need to clean myself up. Just accept that you're holy and watch it do the work. Jesus raised from the dead for our justification on the eighth day, after the seven Sabbaths, or after the 7 days, or after the seven church ages. Jesus raised from the dead again. What are we going to do with that? Over in Rising of the Sun, a very clear statement. What a resurrection this is out of dead denominationalism. Brother Branham was bringing the resurrection of Jesus Christ right in our day and in our message. After the seven Sabbaths, the eighth day, which is the holy convocation, see, which is the first day. See, you've done pass through time. Think about that. You've done pass through time. Brother Branham makes this statement. Now listen. I guess everybody thinks they're still in time. You done pass through time. We got to get this thing in our head. We done pass through time. Church ages, seals. We pass through time. We pass through all of it. You've done pass through time, and you have dropped into eternity again. Not keeping of days, and keeping of Sabbaths, and new moons, and things like that. That has passed. See, you. I'm afraid of your, Brother Branham said, I'm afraid of what you say you have when you try to hold holy days and foot washings and all these kinds of things. He says, listen, you changed forms. You changed forms. You are not annihilated. Everybody's worried about being annihilated. We came, we changed forms. We didn't get annihilated. The end time came through. We stepped out on the other side of the ark, and we've got a brand new world to build, a brand new day. And I sat down and began to write. He said, take up your pen and write. You remember in 2004, I was standing there in the woods with Brother Branham in a vision, and he took a pen out of his pocket and he handed it to me. And he said, Brother Parnell, this is yours. I took the pen and I began to look at it. And he said, now take it and point it toward the heavens. And as I took that pen, and as I raised the pen, I was taking it across the heavens, and it was just like a big tent, a veil. The heavens was ripping open. I mean, it was, and there was all kinds of writings on it. And the writings were just falling everywhere, just ripping open and falling and going away. And that pen that I was holding, it was putting brand new words in the heavens. It was a blank heavens, and it began to fill the heavens with word. And I looked at it, and he said, now take it down to the earth. And I begin to move it down. And in my mind, I was thinking, what in the world power is in this pen? And I took it down a little ways, and I started to stop. And he screamed at me. He said, don't stop. Take it and touch the earth. So I kept moving, and I touched the earth. And there was a huge explosion. In the vision, I thought we had to be dead. But we weren't. And I was standing there. And he said, do you see how much power you have in your hand? Do you see how much power is in that pen? This is a new world. All the old writings are gone. This is a new heavens and earth. Take up your pen and write. I believe that pen was our consciousness, our understanding, the word for the hour, the spirit, the connection moving in us. And then he told me, he said, take that pen and point it toward that tree over there. It was an evergreen tree. And he said, move it over to that position. And I took the pen and in my mind, I was thinking, how in the world is this going to happen? And I lifted the pen and the tree came right up out of the ground. I took the pen over and set the tree down in the ground. And I just looked at it and I thought, my goodness, what power this is. And he said, do it again. And I thought, well, I'll do it a little faster. So I moved it real quick. And when I moved it real quick, I could see everything in the background, in the scenery. Everything was changing at the same time. And it's exactly what he said. He said, there are seven messengers. Go to the first seal. You can read it for yourself. There are seven messengers that come, and they hear a declaration from heaven. They open a seal, and a trumpet sounds, and a plague falls, and the people are put away, and the others are judged, and a new one comes. And he said that goes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And then he said at the end of that seventh last messenger, it all changes. Where are you at? The seventh messenger was to change everything in your life, in your understanding, and you're still doing the same thing. You're still thinking your same old thoughts. You're still doing the same old things. We need to wake up. That red dragon was sitting right in there when those seals were opened. You know who they were? Preachers. And they heard Brother Branham bring a brand new message, and their minds were so dull to understanding that they went right back home and preached the same old things and continued to preach the same old things until it drove him into a nervous breakdown, and he left and wanted to be a guide. And the Spirit had to talk with him and connect with him and say, if you do this, you're going to be a bum on a city dump. And he come back, and one of the first messages he preached when he come back was standing in the gap. And he said, I wanted to be a guide, but the Spirit dealt with me to come back. You see all of these happenings and how they're connected and how that it comes all the way down through to this day. We've been in the eighth day since 1963 at the opening of those seals. And you know what's happening to us now? The person that was behind the Holy Spirit dispensation and behind the Son dispensation and behind the Father dispensation, that person is here now in his fullness, and he's speaking to us in person, not through a dispensation, not through a mediator, not through an intercessor. He's in us and he is speaking from us, opening up all these things, because in the fullness of time, there's no more time. That's what fullness of time means. There's no more time. And we are in a dispensation where we are now just picking up and picking up and picking up and understanding day after day after day a little more about our eternal quality, because we are in eternity. That's what this is about. I don't know what else to say at the moment. I'm sure there's going to be more, as I've said, because there's so many things come to my mind. But I really want to continue. And I was thinking about, you know, going in and showing us where that when 63 opened everything, you can see where the Spirit is leading me. It's filling in the blanks. It's filling in the detail of where we kind of jumped from 63 over here to 2014 and on, or 1990 or whatever it might be. We kind of jumped, and now the Spirit, the person behind the transition and the transformation, is filling in the detail. And I don't know where else anybody's doing it. I hope they're doing it everywhere. But I know I'm going to do it because the Spirit is dealing with me to fill in and put some flesh on the bones of this last 60 years so that we can understand ourselves and then show it is a brand new world. And we are the pen. We are the pen. Take up your pen. Take up your spirit. Take up your understanding and write or put it out there so people can begin to have the responsibility of living in a new heaven and new earth. That's what this is all about. I hope I didn't hold you too long. And we'll pray. Lord Jesus, we come to you. We thank you for showing us these things. And there's so much more. We see nations ending. We see dispensations ending. We see all the endings happening, the politics, the religion, the two beasts. Time is no longer. We see all these things ending. Lord, enlighten us. Help us to understand what the new beginnings are. Help us to understand where we're to go, how we're supposed to move in this new beginning, what we're supposed to bring out, what we're supposed to be. And I know as we move along, just movement itself is going to reveal many of those things. So help us, Lord, to be patient. And when you move something, to have the spiritual sense to pick it up and see it and move with it and say, yes, that may mean I need to change many things. That may mean that I need to talk different than I've talked. But whatever it is, these new beginnings, we're willing, Lord. We have an open heart. We have an understanding to this point. Now we're willing to move forward. We're willing to do all of these things. And we thank you and we pray. We seek. We understand. We know your spirit. I'm speaking to the spirit in the people. I know where you're at. I know where you're dwelling. It's in us. And I'm asking us, like Daniel said, humble yourself. And when the spirit is speaking, know it, catch it, and change what you need to change. It's our prayer. It's our understanding. It's our desire. In your precious name. Amen. Love you very much. Remember once again, this is spiritualenergy.net. You can go to that website, enjoy it. You can go to my YouTube, find everything there that you want to look at, videos. Atori Aloyansa Parnell on YouTube. So you're welcome to any of that, and you're welcome to come here. I'm going to do my best to do at least one a week. And I will announce it pretty much ahead of time. So, love you with all my heart. And you pray for me, and I'll pray for you. Love bless. 'Kay, if you end this video now, you will be able to choose if you want to save or delete it.